is a stronger connection.
It's like Wikipedia on the radio. Walt Teptula is the Upstate's walking sports encyclopedia. Catch him and Ramona live from 3 to 7 every day on Road Rage.
Gets me home.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
Walt Teptula Road Rage, we are back. Lines are sort of jammed up. I'm coming
to you.
You
like that song? My song? Did you hear what I was singing to you?
You were singing?
Yeah, you'd miss some good stuff if you ignore me, Walt.
What did you sing?
I'm not going to sing it now.
Well, just tell me. What did you sing?
You said you were going to have Chinese, and I said... No, I can't say it on the air.
Now that sounds even worse. That sounds bad when you say I can't say it on the air.
You don't remember the story I told you? Now go ahead. I'll tell you during the break and you can decide what's what.
Decide if it's for the greater good?
Yeah.
James, Jason, and Phantom Gator coming right now on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. James, how are you, James? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt. How you doing, man?
Good. Appreciate you getting in, James.
Good, man. I was wanting to ask you about the importance of the LSU game. I was thinking, you know, Dabo, he's already established his legacy here. There's nothing else he can prove. He's done everything he needs to do. But with the new age and he's coming in, you know, we got the Death Valley versus Death Valley. He's going into, you know, LSU Stadium with Lane Kiffin, with the new coach who's doing all the stuff that's kind of questionable. What do you think this has to do with, as far as Dabo's legacy? How important is this game to go towards Dabo's legacy?
Well, I'm not really all that concerned, James, about the legacy part of it, because I think, like you said, I think his legacy is pretty much established. Now, in the new world order of things, proving that Clemson can compete at the highest level, I think it's important in that regard. I think it's important from an early season momentum standpoint, although LSU winning this game last year didn't really provide them much momentum. But it's also an OOC game, so it doesn't count in league standings and really doesn't have any effect in that regard. Now, if you beat an alleged SEC power, that gives you a lot of brownie points in terms of the way you're viewed. And I also think it would mean that for Clemson to go there and win, a lot of Clemson's questions would have had to have been answered in that game. And so, you know, if Clemson were to win that game, they would come out of that game feeling fairly bulletproof, and the ACC would not look nearly as daunting, and neither would a home game against Miami. So, in other words, if Clemson were to win the game at LSU, then all things are possible. Then if Clemson comes home with that victory, then I think you're looking at like 11-1 or something. And maybe maybe a certain playoff team. On the other hand, you know, lose that game and look and don't come away with any quarterback answer in defeat, meaning you lose like 34-10, whether just one guy plays or both guys play and neither plays great, then I think you're sort of lost, and then you wonder what the season will really look like, and could it be 7-5 or 6-6 or something.
Which is what I was saying about the importance. Does it not feel like this game is just like out of this world important? I can't remember a game to start off the season that is just this important.
It does feel important. It does feel, I agree with you, James. It does feel important for a game that's not a conference game. It does. It has some special emphasis. Part of it was that LSU came here last year and won. It's a good job, James. Right. Good talking to you.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the game does carry some added weight. It just, from a Clemson perspective, I don't think Clemson has to win it. Look, obviously, Dabo Swinney's not a moral victory guy, but I think if Clemson came away, even in defeat, say 27-21, quarterback plays pretty well, you're feeling pretty good about the way you played, there's something to build on moving forward, something to get better off of, I think most people would take that. What can't happen from a Clemson standpoint is 34-10. That can't happen. If that happens, then for one, you're not beating Miami, regardless of who plays quarterback. And then, you know, now we're talking about the possibility of not making an ACC championship game at all. Jason in Columbia and then Phantom Gator. Jason, how are you, Jason? Good to have you, as always.
Walt, I am still in shock that my fair and balanced friend, Walt Deptula. Ramona, did you hear he is a V for Vendetta fan?
Oh.
I am getting my Guy Hawks mask. I'm driving over to Walt's place, and let's go overthrow the evil empire, Walt. Let's do it, Walt. Let's do it.
All we need to do is determine now, Jason, is which evil empire.
Well, one of these days, I think we might just have to, I don't want to say kill them all and let God sort them out. That was from Apocalypse Now. I don't want to say that, but maybe throw a pie in their face and let God sort them out. How about that?
Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah.
I'm with you on The Dark Knight, man. What a great film. Isn't it amazing that even though that's ostensibly a Batman film, it felt like a true crime drama the way he filmed it. Just brilliant, that trilogy.
Yep.
And such a shame that Heath Ledger died young, I mean, on a human level, but we were robbed. The third movie was supposed to be his trial, and then Bane was going to come into the picture during that movie alongside
Joker. I did not know that.
Yeah, man, that would have been awesome. What a performance by him as Joker. But anyway, I went to a midnight showing of that with my wife, Walt, and we took my little brother-in-law.
A midnight showing of what now?
Of The Dark Knight, 20 years ago or whenever it came out. Yeah, and
Has it been that long? That's scary.
2008, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, 18 years. So it was like going to a football game, Walt. The energy and the buzz in that theater.
Oh, I'm sure.
People were so hyped up for it. And you had the Heath Ledger. It was almost like a James Dean moment, you know, kind of hanging over it. And it was so good. It was so much fun. But anyway, hey, I wanted to ask you a question regarding tempo. You know, because Chad and some of the things we've seen is almost like downplay the notion because of the rule changes and everything.
Yep.
And people aren't running as many plays anymore. But here's something I found interesting, Walt. So the last time Chad was anywhere near calling plays, you know, he's the OC at Auburn in 2020, but that's obviously under Gus, his mentor. And then 2024, he was the passing game coordinator at Texas State. And the Texas State, for people who don't know, their head coach was one of Chad's proteges. He was actually his quarterback at Tulsa before Chad came to Clemson. So long story short, Texas State was seventh in the nation in tempo. They were the seventh fastest team in 2024. So, I mean, obviously we're only talking one season or I guess two seasons now ago.
Yeah, but what does seventh fastest team mean compared to what it meant, you know, 10 years ago?
Oh, well here, I got that for you. So this is interesting. So 2012, Clemson was the seventh fastest team.
Uh-huh.
And yet there's a full 2 second difference in that number. 2012, Clemson was 2 seconds faster, which doesn't sound like much, but it is when you're measuring tempo across a game compared to 2024 Texas State. So my question for you is this, Walt. Do you think we could still possibly see Chad hit the accelerator and maybe finish in the top 25 in tempo nationally and yet still – to us as viewers, it will not feel anything close to what we saw when he was here the first time.
Yeah. Let me go back for 1 second. I think in terms of Kenny, the former quarterback, I think he's a rising star, and he has his own star quarterback now, who I think is going to be terrific this year. On terms of the tempo element, yeah, I think you are going to see Clemson utilize tempo. It will not look like it did back then. It will look different, it will feel different, and it will not be nearly as consistent, nor I think nearly as goal-oriented, Jason. What I mean by that is it really felt like at times in the past, and when watching Chad here, like the goal was to snap it 100 times without regard for what the actual score was. And the last time I checked, the games are still dictated by the score, not how many times you snap it. And there seemed almost a mad desire to win that category, which doesn't give you the game. There are just times that you can't do that. There are just times that you have to, that can be your philosophy, but where you still have to slow things down to win the game. And I think sometimes that thing fell in a gray area when Chad was here before. So I think what I'm surmising here, Jason, and what I'm guessing is that I think you're going to get the best version of that. You're going to get enough tempo to satisfy the people who want tempo, and then a more practical, common sense approach to it. So you use it where it benefits you, where it behooves you, and you slow things down when it's winning time and you're in control and that type of thing.
Yeah, and the other thing that jumped out about that 2024 season, which I found encouraging. Now again, Chad was the quote passing game coordinator and wide receiver coach, so yeah. Who knows what he actually did for the game plan, but Texas State was top 7 in both scoring and total offense, and the way it split was they were 15th in rushing offense and 22nd in passing offense. So they were very committed to the run, 208 yards per game that season. So hopefully that foretells what we've heard a lot about his commitment to being a tough physical running team this time around.
And we're going to find out early, because as of now, I'm still of the belief that the team that runs the ball best in this football game is going to be the winner. I just think that's we have evolved back towards a running game. The run game indicates some semblance of physical control, and I think the team that better establishes that is going to rule the day, is going to win the game, and I also think their quarterback is more likely to have success.
Yeah, it was an interesting side note, too. 2024, Ray and Kobe McLeod's brother, Jordan, was Chad's quarterback for most of that season.
Yeah. So, yep, I'm interested to see it. I think I have a fairly good handle on what to expect to see from Chad. How it all works is another thing entirely, and we're to find out. You know, that old adage, you can't go home again, can you? I don't know. We'll see.
Ramona, if the black helicopters come for Walt, tell them I was never on this phone call, please.
All right.
That's awesome, Jason. Thank you, Jason. Great talking as always. All right. Phantom Gator. Do we have time for Phantom Gator, or should we come back to him? Let's try and squeeze him in here. Phantom Gator, good to have you as always.
Hey, Walt. Good to be on.
Absolutely.
I figured I'd move on a little bit here with what we've been going over. I'm going to go to the offensive line now. I know Penn State came in, pretty highly ranked last year. They probably had a disappointing year, but that meant they had some talent if everybody thought they were going to be pretty good. So Sumrall went out, and he's got their offensive line coach, and he brought in a couple of offensive players that you probably know a good deal about. One of them's Egan Boyer, and the other one is T.J. Shanahan. And I don't know if they're going to be starters or what you think about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a likelihood that Shanahan starts. He's played he was at Penn State, as you said. I think he was also at Texas A&M at one point. He's probably 6'4", 6'5", and 320 pounds. I thought he was pretty good at Penn State. I mean, I don't think he's an All-American, but I think he's a big, fairly tough guy. I think he can help. Obviously, the offensive line is going to be important to Sumrall. Other than that craziness about painting his toenails or whatever he does, I think he's a tough-minded coach, and he believes in physical football. And he's been everywhere. He's won everywhere he's been. He's won early, so that's another another positive. You know, you do have a number of transfer offensive linemen. You know, how that comes together remains to be seen. But, you know, you brought in Harrison Moore, I think the center from Georgia Tech. I think that's an interesting piece. But how those guys mold. You know, I mentioned this earlier in regards to a different team, Florida State, and that is that, you know, it was always the belief, and it's still, to my way of thinking, it's still the belief, it's still the reality of it. It's more than just a belief, that continuity on the offensive line matters, that games played shoulder to shoulder, because the offensive line has to operate as one. And I think that's still an enormous advantage where you can find that. The problem is, it's hard to find. It's very, very difficult to find anywhere anymore. It's not even the way it works. And we've had some counterexamples in recent years of teams that did not have that luxury, and it didn't matter. Michigan won the Joe Moore Award twice with a preponderance of transfer portal offensive linemen. New ones, twice. And so, you know, obviously they were coached well, but the point is it can be done. And so, you know, I think Sumrall has a chance to be able to do that. I'll tell you what concerns me a little bit at the moment about Florida. They have named their quarterback Aaron Filo. And Aaron Filo, he's had some moments at Georgia Tech where he looked very promising. And he's had some other moments where he looked far less promising, where he looked confused. And he's still a young player. He has some physical ability. But recently, there was some film available of the Florida quarterbacks working out and throwing the ball. And quite honestly, none of them looked very impressive.
So, yeah, if you can't, I know you rank the skilled players as number two in the league. If you can't get them the ball, what good is it, right?
Yeah, but I really do like the skill guys, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how that shapes up. I think I had Florida on my most interesting team list too, because in part because of Sumrall, in part because of the extreme skill position talent. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. Dallas Wilson is an absolute freak. If he is healthy and can play the whole season, he is truly special. I don't mean like a little special. I mean like right there with Jeremiah Smith special. That's how special Dallas Wilson is if he's a full go. So we'll see. And then, you know, you brought in Eric Singleton as well. And obviously Eric Singleton's one of the nation's fastest players. He'll be a great complement to Dallas Wilson if these guys are all healthy. Brown's a pretty good receiver. There's talent. I mean, you got a hammer at running back in Baugh.
Yeah. Do you have a gut on the offensive line with this Trotwine being their coach?
Well, yeah, I would expect the line to be fairly good. And the line, quite frankly, is going to be helped by Baugh, because Baugh's a downhill runner and he's 230 pounds, and he's going to get his almost no matter what the offensive line does. He's going to eat. So this skill group for Florida, this offense, this could be surprisingly good. It's really going to come down, in my mind, to how Filo plays and what you get out of him. Does he play like a upper half quarterback in the league, or is he, you know, a lower quadrant quarterback in the league? I think it's going to come down to him. Again, he's going to be surrounded by personnel. So, I'm a believer that almost anybody should be able to quarterback that bunch.
Yeah. Since you said that, who's the quarterback you can remember in history maybe that was really crummy but was led a team to a great season because he had great players around him? Have you got any thought on that? I know it's off the wall. But.
Well, I mean, I think we've seen it in several schools. I mean, Ohio State won a national championship with a game manager. LSU won a national title with the game manager. I mean, I think that can be done. I'm not saying that Filo stinks. I think Filo,
I know that. He was 13, yeah. I think he
right.
had him.
So. I think he has some ability. Phantom Gator, I got to run. We'll talk about it. We'll be right back. Joe, I'm coming to you.
The countdown is on. 10 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
At the Sellers wants to throw. Looking, goes across the middle, ball batted up in the air, and it's picked! Ricardo Jones at the 10, go to 10!
10-day until Clemson Tiger football.
Is mañana. It is at Southern Weaving Food Hall, which I've not been there, but everyone tells me it's unbelievable. I've seen the pictures of it. It's incredible. I know Quack and Ben were out there the other day. I don't know how we've never been there, but 210 Fern Street, easy to get to from Easley, Pickens, Anderson, Clemson, Greenville. Something for absolutely everyone. Everybody on hand, T-shirts, crowd attractions, crowd interactions. It's going to be unbelievable. It all starts at 5, but I'd get there early. I would get there early if I were you. You can go inside, outside. It's just it's an incredible event, and like I said, it's the station-wide kickoff show. So be there. Joe in Virginia. Joe, how are you, Joe? Good to have you.
I'm doing pretty good, man. I finally found a soul food place up here. It's like Daniel Boone. I had to go in the deep woods. I found some soul food. Well, I had some good cornbread for the first time.
Well, there you go.
It took me, I don't know how many years, but I finally found one.
You know, everybody can just tell what love Joe has for Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys just take a rock and throw from the studio, and you probably hit like 5 places.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you have like all this food to sponsors. I would gain like 500 pounds if I was in your job.
But you know, Joe, there is some good news for you in Virginia. From a dietary standpoint, that the new governor is going to tax you all so significantly that you won't be able to afford to eat.
I'm just good at Tennessee and buy stuff, you know. I'm just good at Tennessee. And I was sitting there the other day. I was like, oh, man, I could get out of here. So, I do that every day. It's going to be an ongoing conversation with my wife. She won't go to Arizona. She's like, it's too hot. I was like, who cares? You know, who cares?
It's a dry heat. It's a dry heat.
Yeah. She's like, it's 115. Well, who cares about that?
It is a dry heat, though. Yeah. You know, there is a story about that. And I'll let continue, Joe. But this is a number of years ago. I don't know how many. But Texas was embroiled in the midst of the worst heat wave in their history. Temperatures were 120 plus every day. It was absolutely brutal. And the Texas Rangers, on a weekend series, went to Fenway Park to play in Boston. And to a man, they could not wait to get back to the Texas heat. Because in Boston, in Boston, they encountered near 100-degree temperatures with 100% humidity, and they couldn't wait to get back to Texas.
And that is true. You know, it was like 112 in Phoenix when I was out there, and it was a little different, South Carolina is 98 and 100% humidity, and you think you're going to die.
Yeah, the humidity is the deal.
Florida was nuts, too. You know, I'm going to say something. I think you'll agree with it, but I'm going to stir the pot in a college football recent history. I'll just be honest, Walt. If Haynes King was with Paul Johnson in 2014, I think they could win the national championship.
Yep.
I think the guy at Georgia Tech right now, Key, he's just the guy. To me, you win the ACC if you have a guy like Haynes King. You figure it out on defense. You figure it out. And he didn't do that. And King was a once-in-a-lifetime type player. People bash Paul Johnson over and over and over again. He won more games. He's a Hall of Famer. And quite honestly, he's done more at Georgia Tech, been no offense, than Key will ever do. I just don't believe in Key. Like, he choked against Georgia, was it 2 years ago, as a play caller. And he just, like, he's doing some good stuff, but honestly, the bars was pretty low with Collins. It's like, the bar's not high, you just, you know, step across it.
Well, look,
I don't know.
Obviously, I had tremendous respect for Paul Johnson. I thought he did just an unbelievable job, and he had no help whatsoever from that institution, none. They have a lot more help now. They have a lot more financial help. Yeah. They have a lot more help in every way, and staff and everything that Paul Johnson just wasn't afforded. Having said that, I still like Key. I think he's doing a good job. I'm a little concerned with this year's team. I like the running backs. I think Georgia Tech is one of the better running back rooms in the country. But I'm a little concerned with what their offensive scheme is going to be. You know, I really liked what Faulkner was doing with them. And I'm a little worried that they're going to be more pro-style this year. And I'm just not sure that if they are, that they're going to have the same dynamic in that run game. I mean, you had two backs last year who, you know, who averaged 7-8 yards a carry. And they were a massive threat on the edges with the run game, which included the quarterback. I'm just not sure you're going to have any of that this year. And that worries me a little, so we'll see.
Well, is the defense going to tighten up? I don't know, the Boston College game kind of ruined me on key a little bit. I really didn't like that Boston College game.
Yeah, you know? I get it.
And again, like, I want Georgia Tech to succeed. My grandfather went there, for heaven's sakes. I mean, I wanted them to succeed. Well, I'll leave you with this. I'm not changing my mind. Still got Miami winning it all. But the thought occurred to me, you were talking about, I think you were talking with Mike about, you know, Cignetti. Cignetti worked in the salt mines, basically, in college football. He went to IUPUI, which is in the middle of nowhere outside of Indianapolis. And he was talking about mopping the floors. You know, he's going to beat Ohio State, in my mind. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him at that point?
Well, again, they're going to be the winners of 22 consecutive games when they entertain Ohio State, play them at home. That's game 7. They've won 16 straight, and then, well, it might be more than that going back to the end of the prior year, but they won 16 straight games at a minimum, and they're going to win the first 6 games this year. I don't think there's any doubt about that, barring something really strange, because the schedule, the first 6 games, is simple. So they're going to have won 22 straight or more when Ohio State comes to town. If they win that game, it's on.
I think they do. I think they do. You know, I don't know. I'm just really, really high. Obviously, recency bias. But I like the Cignetti. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think the guy's brilliant. I guess I'm going to go find something else up here that's worth my time in Virginia. So appreciate it, Walt.
Thank you, Joe. You know, Ramona, he does it in a lighthearted way, but with each passing phone call, you can tell he hates Virginia more and more and more. And he's starting to work his wife in that regard more and more and more.
You think when he wakes up, he goes, "Oh yeah, I forgot."
Yeah. Well, and soon he'll be, you know, showing her the tax bills that are coming with everything.
Yeah, that should be a good reason.
Yeah, because the crazy new governor has instituted like 50 new taxes. She's taxing everything. She claimed to be like middle of the road. She's taxing everything. Not good. Not good. She showed up at some event the other day in Virginia. I can't remember what it was. You know, I don't know. Maybe it was like a county fair or something. That's what I'm going with. County fair. And she went to the microphone to speak. She got booed mercilessly. People aren't dumb. I mean, you tell them one thing and then you go and tax them on 50 different things when you know, all, people are already struggling, man. Hey, let me tell you about AMPM. Oh, yeah, we'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join Ashby Mixon and me live on Friday night as we take on week 2 of the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingles. This week, we're off to Daniel High School, where the Lions will play host to BHP in a powerhouse pairing that you're not going to want to miss. When two of the...
They're back in your house.
You know, there was a texter way back when or two who said, you know, well, I think they come more towards the fall. They were right.
Uh-oh.
They're all over again.
All right.
Be on the lookout.
I'll look out for them.
Absolutely everywhere.
Okay.
My yard again. My back porch is like arachnophobia. It's just unbelievable. They're absolutely everywhere.
All right. I'll be on the lookout for them.
Yeah. They're not hard to find. And they have absolutely exploded every stinking wear without question. You know, Ramona, before the show began today, we're having some strange conversations in Hennis's office with a number of people, and it was about horror movies and popular horror movies, and then somehow we got on Rhonda Shear of Up All Night and Elvira, and the conversation turned to Elvira and Rhonda Shear. Yes, that's for real. Rhonda Shear is still peddling stuff. I think she sells like lingerie or something on television.
What is Elvira's real name? I forget.
Cassandra Peterson.
Okay, so it's not Rhonda. So those are two different women. Okay.
Right. Two different women who both hosted nighttime B horror movies. Rhonda Shear was up all night, and she would talk about the girls. If you get my drift. The girls?
Her boobs.
Her boobs.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And but she was funny. Rhonda Shear was funny. Now, they also share one other common thread. That's Elvira Cassandra Peterson, who actually is a redhead, and Rhonda Shear. And that is they both posed for Playboy. I guess when you're like the queen of the B horror movies, that's the next step.
Well, say that's a natural step.
A natural
over?
Progression. Yeah, it seems to be. It seems to be. Okay. I don't know if there's any other queen of the B horror movies. I'm not sure. All right, Ramona, we are going to try and do something quickly here. We're going to see if we can do this. All right. I have not yet completely named my playoff field. And with college football set to begin, I ought to do that. So mark these down, Ramona. Mark the tape. We're putting these down. 12 playoff teams right now. You have my team rankings?
Yes.
Pull up my team rankings, would you? I know I told you during the break to pull up the ACC quarterback rankings.
I know.
We don't have time to do that now. We're going to try and do this.
Okay. Where do you want me to start? Your top 12?
I'll tell you what. I want you to tell me who I have at 15, 14, and 13.
15 is Louisville, 14 is LSU, and 13 is Texas A&M.
Ooh, I might not have to change very much. Other than I'm going to have to add the non-P4 team. All right. So then 12, who do I have at 12?
USC.
Yeah, this USC is my big dilemma because I think they are a playoff team from a talent standpoint. I think this is the most talent... excuse me, that they have had. That six-game stretch of schedule just really concerns me. The only way they can make the playoff is they're going to have to beat either Ohio State, Oregon, or Indiana. They're going to have to win one of those games and then win the rest of their games. And I have them at 12, you said?
Yes.
Okay. They're my first playoff team, or last playoff team, if you prefer. But they're not going to be in that spot. They're going to be in the...
I already wrote it down, okay.
Well, they're technically going to be...
Are these in order?
They're technically going to be in the 11 spot, because as I just explained, we have to have a non-Power 4 team. So my non-Power 4 team is Boise State. I think Boise State has one of the better running back rooms in America. So Boise State is technically going to be my team 12.
Okay.
All right. And that would make team 11 Southern Cal. Those are the two that I really, really debated. So I'm going to have Boise State as team 12, and I'm going to have Southern Cal as team 11. Who do I have as team 10?
Well, Mississippi, you got 11 is BYU. You
okay.
Care about them?
Yeah, no, that's where we're going to go first.
All right, okay.
All right, so the new 10 is going to be Brigham Young. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Brigham Young has a manageable schedule. I think they have an elite backfield with Bachmeyer, who is a mammoth quarterback, like 240 pounds, and L.J. Martin, who's just a moose. at 240 pounds. I think that combination is going to win a lot of football games in the Big 12. So I think BYU makes the college football playoff. I think the Big 12 gets two teams in. So I have them at 10. All right. So who is next on my ranking list?
Mississippi.
All right. I'm going to keep that. I'm going with Ole Miss, and they would now be at 9, right?
Okay, yeah.
Again, I think you can make the argument they have the best combination of quarterback, running back in America in Chambliss and Lacy. So they're 9.
Okay, and then it's Texas Tech.
I have Texas Tech at what number?
9.
All right, so now they would have to be 8.
Right, yes.
Okay, so we're going to do that. We're going to put Texas Tech 8th. I just don't see how anyone's beating them. I think that there's a really good chance they go unbeaten. I just think that they don't play anybody. They play Houston, Arizona. They get them both at home. They're going to be 15-point favorites in both of them. All right.
Okay. Then's Oklahoma.
All right. So that would put them in what spot now?
6? 7.
They're in 7 now?
Oklahoma.
Okay. So we're going Oklahoma 7.
Okay. And then Indiana you have for 7. What?
You well, that'd be 6 now.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, go.
Okay, and then you have Miami.
Okay, at what number?
You have them at 6, so they're 5?
Okay, I guess so.
Okay, and then you have Georgia.
This doesn't seem right. It seems like we don't have enough spots.
We don't.
Well, how can
you added Boise State. And you haven't kicked anybody out
yet?
No,
I thought we did kick somebody out.
No, you haven't kicked anybody out yet.
Okay, we're going to have to figure this out. Okay. We'll have to figure this out for tomorrow because we're not going to make it. Make sure you get out to the kickoff show. Southern Weaving, be there tomorrow.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Advanced 5-Tool Power Hitter, made with peppers, vinegar, and salt. Bringing the right kind of heat for whatever's going on the grill. Hot dogs, burgers, and all those fully loaded brats. Grab the original Louisiana hot sauce for a taste that always hits. That's Louisiana Hot. Buy you some.
You're listening to Atlanta Braves Baseball, right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Night after night, the Atlanta Braves take the field with one thing on their minds, getting